We're focusing this entire month on this word praise. You know, a lot of people go to church and they think they're praising God. They're trying to praise God. But you have to wonder. And I think we need to always look at the book of books, look at the Bible for the pattern of how to praise so that we're doing it right. If you'll open your Bible and go to Psalms chapter 50. The 50th Psalm. And like I said last week, I wanted to talk about how to praise the Lord. And that's it's a crazy concept called praise, because you don't want to just make it that, all right, well, you do A, B, C, D, and it's done. But there are some ingredients. Just like if you're going to, I made some chili con carne. My wife says, oh, get it off of the internet, you know. Well, of course, the first one calls for two cans of beer to be mixed in. So look at another one, and it calls for this, another one. So I began to experiment, and Sarah said it was pretty good, just a bit hot. But that meant it was good. That was my first time making chili con carne. But, you know, if you had asked me to make chili con carne without any recipe, it would have just basically been spaghetti bolognese. That's how I would have ended up, because I don't know how to make it. And really, a lot of people think that because they're taking a stab at praising and worshiping God, that they're actually doing a good job. We need some ingredients, is what I'm saying. We need some basic understanding of what praise is and what it isn't, so that we're making sure we're doing it right. Psalm 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So when you offer praise like a sacrifice, you're glorifying God. There were specific instructions in the Old Testament of how to approach God. The entire book of Leviticus was written describing all the necessary steps to approach and worship God Almighty. We forget that God is holy. We forget that God is different than us. And so God gave very explicit instructions, very serious instructions on how to worship God. You couldn't just walk into the tabernacle. You couldn't just bring some incense and let that be part of worship. As a matter of fact, two of the sons of Aaron actually decided to bring in what was called strange fire. It was fire that, or an incense that did not belong in the tabernacle. It was, God had designed and said, this is the ingredients of the incense. And they said, nah, that's a little boring. Let's spruce it up. And so they brought it in there, and then they found out, you know, they're not coming out. And when they went in there, they found them dead. God had killed them. Because you don't just worship God any old way that feels good. You couldn't bring just any kind of an animal. Say, well, I got this old dog here I'm going to give to God. And you could not bring an animal that was required that had a broken leg or any spot or blemish at all. God had some, are you following me, had some very specific expectations of how we worship Him. It's very important to praise and worship the Lord rightly, or else it becomes a mockery. You ever go to a birthday party and somebody just mocks the whole celebration? Because they play the mix. They just play the fool. You know, there are a lot of people in churches that play the fool. They're not worshiping God. And you know, the devil loves that. The devil loves God being embarrassed. Now, we and I in this New Testament era are a priesthood. You do not need a priest to absolve your sins. You do not need a priest to confess to. As a matter of fact, the moment you got born again, you became a priest. Let's take our Bible, go to 1 Peter now, to the right, 1 Peter chapter 2. After the book of Hebrews comes James, and then 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, speaking of the church. You're built up a spiritual house, and holy what? To offer up physical sacrifices or what? All right, so we offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Verse 9 now. He continues, he says, but ye are a chosen generation. A royal, where's that word again? Priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're a royal priesthood. We no longer offer lambs or bulls or goats. We no longer offer corn or wheat or our fruits. We offer two basic sacrifices. There are two basic sacrifices today. Romans 12:1 tells us the first one, and that is a living sacrifice. I offer myself, not to die, but to live for Him. That is the first sacrifice that I'm privileged of offering. Secondly, the second sacrifice every Christian in this room can give and must work hard at is the sacrifice of praise. Those are the two basic sacrifices in the New Testament. We need to pay careful attention, though. Satan has done a very good job of convincing people they're praising God in an honoring way, when in fact they're only honoring themselves and ultimately honoring and praising devils. Church could be, if we're not careful, what the Bible calls a carnal showing, where we're showing off me and my success and my money and my family and my skills. And that's a carnal show. And it honors the devil. Church can be a place where you hear people standing up, and I've been there, where they stand up and they speak in an unknown tongue, and they do not realize that they probably are actually praising Satan. They think, well, this must be a heavenly language. If you don't know what it's saying, and if there's nobody there able to accurately interpret it, you don't know that it's not praising the devil. Why would you do it? Why would you even risk it? Massive amounts of money and praise is wasted on performers in churches and upon false religious leaders. I believe the devil is thoroughly pleased with that, but God is not. Matthew 15:8, you probably remember the verse where it says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, but their heart far from me. So, how do we offer this sacrifice of praise? How would we do it if we were doing it like they did it in the Old Testament? Well, just by background, before we pray, let me just say it is sad, but so many people are on a praise kick today. What do I mean by that? They're way out of balance. They praise their children for everything. I mean, it's one thing to praise your child for making an A or a B or doing well in school, but they praise them for just going to school. They praise their children just for, oh, good boy, you got your hair cut. Oh, good boy, you put your shoes on. Now, if they're 3 years old, amen, but if they're 13, mom's still praising them. They're on a praise kick. Everything is praise, 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 praise. There's never a rebuke. There's never a time where you're correct. They praise their sports team. I mean, they go bonkers with praise, don't they? That's a praise and worship service, if ever I saw one at the sports stadium. They even praise their dogs and their hamsters. Oh, good boy. Oh, you're the best boy. Amen. Well, maybe the dog needs to hear that every once in a while. But you know what? They forget to praise God. Or let me be a little more specific. They neglect to praise God. You know, the root sin, you're in 1 Peter, go back to the left, go to Romans chapter 1. The root sin of this generation and of all generations is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They call Him the old man. What if God were just one of us? When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They don't praise and thank God. You know, to praise God is to say something about Him that's good. say something good about Him for once. To applaud Him, to make Him look good in the eyes of others. I don't think God looks very good in the world's eyes. Do you think so? The only reason why an unsaved person would ever think that God is good is if a Christian told him. I don't think people are saying it. Because most people think God, if He's there, He's a pretty poor job of ruling. To praise God is to make Him look good. And we don't do it. To show approval, to thank Him for what He's done. I don't care how miserable the day is. I don't care about how hard your situation may be. It's to look at it and think, God, this is the Lord's doing and it is marvelous in our eyes. It's hard to say sometimes. We're praising when we honor Him, when we put Him first, when we bless Him. How many of you like to have a blessing, like to have something good happen in your life? Why don't we ever make His day? I know I made the devil's day too often. I've made him dance the jig. But sure, it'd be nice to let the Father's house have shouting and rejoicing because of some Christians. Let's bless Him. Let's do things that make Him feel good. God gets greed, doesn't He? He also rejoices. Give Him a reason to rejoice and to go, hey, they love me. Oh, man, that made my day. Now, that's what praise is, but the sacrifice of praise is when we honor and glorify God at a cost, when it hurts to praise, when it's not easy to praise. I wish it was easy. Praise usually is a hard gift to give to God, especially when you don't feel like it. You just don't feel like, I mean, I took down, I had all kinds of different graphics, and I didn't use this one, but it's the morning coffee syndrome. Somebody says, good morning, what's good about it? 4 cups later, now it's a good morning. This attitude that we have when we don't have any reason to thank God, we need to thank Him anyway just for being God, just for who He is. That's a sacrifice. And let me just say here, and I want to take a moment and get you to see something. Praising God is the healthiest thing you can ever do. Psalm 22. I got a message and a message here, so hold with me here. Psalm 22 and verse 3. Psalm 22 and verse 3 says, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. You know, God dwells where praise is. That's amazing. Amen? God actually shows up. I think that's good for us. Amen? I mean, I like being around you, but I'd like Him coming around too. It is the best and the healthiest thing when God shows up and because we praise. He doesn't show up where there's grumblings and complaining. Second thing that happens when we praise is God beautifies the praiser. Go to Psalm 33 in verse 1. Psalm 33. God makes you look good. And some of you really need it. I got one last. Psalm 33, 1. In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Nope, that's 31. That's 33, 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. For praise is comely for the upright. You say, I can't find an outfit that looks right. I can't get a hairstyle. Why don't you just praise God? And everybody will go, man, that looks good. You need that. We need that at work. We're like everybody else. We're just, this is terrible. This is awful. Life is rough. Oh, the economy. You know, you start praising God and you will stick out. It is healthier for you because God beautifies a praiser. Third, Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Do you know praise is enjoyable? Some of you haven't figured that out yet. And I'm sure you had 4 lemons before you came to church. I'm sure you had it. Psalm 135. In verse 3, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for it is... Man, it's enjoyable. Yeah, actually, I actually was enjoying it. I'm holding Nita's hand and we're singing. And I'm listening to everybody singing, and so I'm getting a little louder, and then everybody else is loud, and I'm getting, Nita says, you're screaming. I said, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying hearing the song. It is enjoyable to praise God. This is not a dentistry. Psalm 50, back to Psalm 50 in verse 23. Fourth reason why it's the healthiest thing you can do. You say, well, I need to be angry. Amen, but get over it fast. Well, I need to go and rebuke. Amen. Get it over with. Well, I need to go and deal with it. Amen. But get back to praising God. Because it is what makes you strong and healthy and wise, and you'll outlive all of your enemies. Psalm 50, verse 23. Look at this. Psalm 50, 23. Whoso, we already read it, but I want you to see the last part. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and him that ordereth his conversation aright, if he makes his words right, if he says right things, will I show the salvation of God. In the Old Testament, salvation was also spiritual salvation as well as physical deliverance. God will take care of you when you praise Him. God will deliver you. He'll save you from a lot of trouble if you just praise Him. You say, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to praise God. Amen. You say, is that a secret? That's a secret of the Christian life. We don't know what to do, so we're going to just praise God. Because He's going to take care of you. Go ahead and be a grumbler. I don't care. Be filled with a critical spirit. I'm just going to praise the Lord. Amen. Because it's the smartest and healthiest thing you can do. All right, that's my message in a message. Okay. How are we going to order our praise? How are we going to do what it says there? Whoso offereth praise, whoso ordereth his conversation aright. Father, would you bless these thoughts to us? It's what you are trying to develop in us. We're Gentiles. We're stuck over here in the corner of Europe, God. We're out of the loop. So if we're going to learn anything, we're going to have to learn it from your book. We're going to have to learn from your people. God, I just want to bless you. I want all of us as a church, as one mouth, one mind, to glorify you like you deserve. The devil gets too much glory today. Flesh gets all the attention today. Lord, our mouths are used and filled with such filthy things. God, help us to put some things right. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. First thing you need to do is start singing. That's the first thing you got to do. Psalm 28 and verse 7. We're going to start with the strangest form of praise. Psalm 28. In verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him. With my song will I praise Him. Psalm 40, go back to Psalm 40 in verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. That was your life before you got saved. If you don't think your life before you got saved was a horrible pit, I wonder if you're really saved. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Who's that? Jesus Christ. And He established my goings, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. There are too many. Where's my thought here? Well, it's not here. I have to. When my picture comes up, I'll use it. There are too many performing singers and too few thanking singers. People passing by our meeting, I want them to think we're weird. Because we're not just sitting here being lectured at. There is an interaction. There ought to be an interaction going where people like Weston are chuckling at everything I say, and he's encouraging the pastor. Amen. But also there's people who are saying amen. And that when it's time to sing, everybody sing. singing praises God and people see it. You know, I believe singing praises to God can cure almost anything. When you feel like getting mad, start singing, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." Amen. You won't be so mad afterwards. When you feel like quitting, sing, "I ain't a quitting now." We haven't sung that song in a while. When you're wanting to go and give out to someone, when you're defeated and ruined and depressed, sing, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." Amen. When you're hated and persecuted, sing, "What a friend I have in Jesus." Boy, that singing will do you good, won't it? You say, "I didn't get any money in the post. I didn't have anybody come visit me." That singing just fixed me. Singing can cure almost anything. It's a great way. Oh, by the way, it's a great way to praise God. As long as it's with the right kind of music. Have you noticed how everywhere you turn, there already is music going on? Everywhere? I mean, you're walking down, half the population is cyborg. They have stuff in their ears, on their heads, you know, they're just walking around. They're listening to singing all the time. Isn't that a shame? They have allowed the devil to remove any desire to sing and praise God. iPods, MP3 players, the background radio music, it's all the wrong kind of music. You know what I like about Christmas? I can be in pennies there. And there's song, there's a Christmas hymn going on. You know what I do? I sing it out loud. Amen. At least a little bit of godly music is being played. Might as well join in. Amen. What we have is an attitude like this that thinks that's how you sing in church. No, that's Charlotte Church. That's not how you sing in church, all right? That is a performer. That is pure performance. And by the way, she's a very depressed woman. You don't look up to them to be your model of how you sing and how you praise God, because she ain't doing it. You know, you say, "Well, oh, stuck in the mud there. He's not a very good singer." He's singing. Amen. He's singing. See, we're looking for a role model. Just sing. Sing the right kind of music. Sing. What kind of book has he got in his hand, by the way? It's a hymnal. And every Christian needs three books. You need a King James Bible. You need a Strong's Concordance, which is a concordance, which is a listing of all the words in the Bible, so you can find words on where the Bible talks about praise or where it talks about rejoicing. And then you need a hymnal. Maybe you need a tape to teach you how to sing along with the hymnal too. But that book used to be part of people's lives. Hymns. 500 songs about heaven, about Jesus, about the Christian life, about soul winning, about suffering for the Lord's name's sake, about praising God. You couldn't go wrong by just having a hymnal. We need to fight back with right songs, with a praising attitude. Every Sunday, you know what you're doing? I'm warming you up. John is up here singing and leading the music. He is getting you ready to praise God all week long. You go all week and, whoo, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I mean, we had, what was the song that was on there? Oh, No Not One. There's a bit of an active song before you guys came in on the things, and it picks you up, and it's just, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. You know, come Monday, it's, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, too. There's not a friend like the lowly. Wednesday, it's like, I forgot the words. So come Sunday, we're like resurrecting the dead. Amen? The whole purpose of getting to church is to get started again saying, you know, I'm going to carry it longer this week. Don't miss. Some of you, I know it's hard getting out the house. I know it's hard getting the kids crammed in the boot of the car. I know it's just tough getting the dog out the back, everything, and getting to church on time. But when we're singing and you're not here, you're missing it. You're missing the warm-up. You're missing the training so that you praise God. Amen? Second way that you praise God is by remembering Psalm 53. By 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, and also find Philippians 4 with your right hand. Philippians chapter 4. Psalm 63 in verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed. Did you notice verse 5 and verse 6 don't have a full stop? There are two dots there that mean pause. Get to the next sentence. Let it fill in the gaps. I'll be satisfied. My mouth will praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee, talking to God, upon my bed. And when I meditate on thee in the night watches, in the middle of the night. Philippians now. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. What do you think about at night when you can't sleep? What do you think about when you're just going to bed? What do you think about when you first get up? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, here's the conclusion. This is the most important thing. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, wow, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, not bad report. You shouldn't read the newspaper just before you go to sleep, amen. You shouldn't watch the news just before you go to bed. That's all bad reports, man. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and, here we go, if there be any praise, think on these things. What do you think about? No wonder we find it hard to praise God every day, because we don't think about it. We think about so much stuff, so many troubles, so many frustrations, so many worries and cares. Praise begins here. It begins in the way and what you think about. Your memories. You ever just sat back and remember that God means everything for good in your life? You just remember that. It may not seem like it, but you need to remember what the devil meant for evil, God will always make for good. You need to remember that all things work together for good. You need to remember that even in times of affliction, listen to these words, it is good for me that I have been afflicted that I might learn thy statutes. You can even look back at your, not just troubles, but afflictions, and go, that was good for me. Because I know God did something good out of it. Amen. You need to remember that He only doeth wondrous things. And Psalm 72 says, you need to remember that He has done some things just for you. Didn't do it for anybody else. He did something just for you. You need to remember those times. You need to remember that He is the only one that deserves praise. I've met a few people, not very many, who when you go up to them and you just say, man, I tell you what, you're a blessing. Man, everything you do is such a blessing. You know, the first thing is this: God saved me. God brought me into this church. God gave me this ability, man. All the praise going to God. Amen. You need in your memories, you need to remember God was there. Hey, you need to remember this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Woo-hoo! You're going to bed and you're going, I wish I could die. You need to go, I don't have to. The trumpet could blow tonight. Amen. Amen. That's praise. When you remind yourself constantly, here's your thing, constantly remind yourself to thank God, whether tough or easy, whether good or bad. Wake up every morning and remember to praise God. Throughout the day, remember, praise God. In every conversation, remember, give God the glory. At the end of each day, be thankful for everything. Don't be like the 9 lepers. If you remember, Jesus, this was not a parable. This was not just a story. Jesus is standing there teaching, and there were 10 leprous men who were dying. They were 50 feet away from all the crowds who were gathered around, maybe 100 feet, and they were crying out, have mercy on us, thou son of David! We're going to die. No one can do anything. And Jesus walked over to them and said, go show the priest. Just go show them. And as they turned and they went, the leprosy disappeared. And they began to run. And they were, they were jumping up and down and shouting, look at me, look at me. And 10 of them took off. And one of them stopped. He went. And he ran back. He held Jesus' feet. He said, thank you, thank you, thank you. One of them. One of them. Jesus said, weren't there 10? I mean, he's got some humor. Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Don't be like, remember, wake up and remember, you're alive. You're saved forevermore. You have the Word of God sitting there at your table waiting to be read. You have the living God waiting to be talked to. The moment you were conceived, you were a miracle. Don't wait for a miracle. You is one. Amen. It's a choice, though. Psalm 34. Back to Psalm. Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know what the key word in that entire verse is? Will. I choose to bless the Lord at all times. It's a choice. You know how a person gets saved? I choose. I will. I yield. I can do nothing except say, you do it. Well, you know, praise is a choice. Psalm 108. Did you wake up this morning and choose to praise God? Psalm 108, verse 1. I like this verse. Psalm 108, O God, my heart is... Now, that doesn't mean repaired. It means it's stuck. It's set. Okay? My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Amen. So praise is you waking up going, oh, I better get praising. Amen. What will you do by nature if you don't choose? You'll complain. You'll grumble. You'll murmur. You'll be miserable and you'll make everybody around you miserable. Now here's an added thought. Add praise to everything you do. I'll show you this. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Two scriptures here. Colossians 2 and verse 7. If you start in verse 6, Colossians 2 and verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7 now, Colossians 2, 7. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? Look at verse chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer. And watching the same with thanksgiving. Do you know 4 times I found in the New Testament where it tells you that everything you do, you need to do it with thanksgiving. You need to say, you know what, I forgot to thank God today. That's why you make it a habit before you sit down and have a dinner or a breakfast or dinner or anything. You sit down and you say, thank you, Lord. That's a good habit. Some people call it grace. I don't know where that came from. But what you're doing is you're being thankful. It is stopping animals, making them human again. And say, no, wait a minute. We're not going to eat until we thank God and we look at the person who fixed it and we say, thank you. Amen. Add praise to everything you do. Third way to praise God. Probably the best way. As forgiven. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Psalm 66. Psalm 66 and verse 18. If I regard iniquity, if I hold on to any sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God. Listen. You know how you praise God? You praise Him as forgiven, not as perfect. Does that make sense? There's no one of us that can praise God as a perfect person. But we can praise God as forgiven people. Amen? What am I dealing with? The point is, when we come to an all-holy God, we come through Him. We come because of Him. And He, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You better watch what you allow to soil your life and your ability to praise God. Thank God you can come that way, amen? Here's the point. You cannot praise God with secret sins in your life. Praise cannot take place out of a filthy mouth. James says it, you cannot at one point bless God and curse men. It can't happen. Doesn't work. What do? You humble yourself. You've got to get into the habit, probably daily, if not multiple times a day, confessing to God, saying, I am sorry for my sin. Go to Psalm 38. Psalm 38 in verse 18. Psalm 38, for I will declare my iniquity, I will be sorry for my sin. That's a good thing. You say, man, I'm constantly sorry for my sin. Okay, well, that's a good step. At least you're there. I know 3/4 of people aren't even there. I'll confess it, and I'm sorry for it. That's good. Do you know, the first thing, if you're going to sacrifice praise, you're going to have to sacrifice pride. You know why most people won't say they're sorry? 5 letters. Pride. You say, well, I've said I'm sorry 490 times. Amen. You're on a roll. Humble yourself. We live in a generation that is not clean. Proverbs 30. Proverbs chapter 30. In verse 12. You ought to write down next to verse 11, 12, 13, and 14, 21st century. Psalm 30 and verse 11 says, there is a generation that curseth their father. Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. They think they're fine. So you know what? They may come to church, they put on a show, but you know why a lot of young people grow up and then leave church? You know why a lot of people who come into church and they actually enjoy church, they enjoy the fellowship, they even enjoy the preaching. Do you know why they give up and they go away? Because they're still filthy. They don't feel like they blend, they don't feel like they belong, and they're still carrying around guilt, they're still carrying around sin, and there are Christians who won't come to church because they're living in sin. It's a contradiction. Shall we continue in sin just because grace abounds? God forbid. How awful modern Christianity has become. Too many of us know how to hide our sin without ever exposing it and getting rid of it. Amen. We know how to point out everybody else's sin. We know how to gossip. We know how to talk about each other. And we don't know how to be honest with God about ourselves. Here's the challenge. Get rid of any and all sin. I don't care. Do whatever it takes to get rid of any and all sin that would block your ability to praise God. If you want to have the blessings that I described there of the presence of God, of the protection of God, of the glory of God, the beauty of God upon you, of the health that God gives to somebody who just praises Him. If you want that at all, then get rid of the sin that's blocking it. I believe most people cannot praise God, and here's the truth, simply because of sin in their lives. That's the only reason why you won't praise God. That's the reason why you cannot say amen. That's the reason why you sit at the very back, or you'd find a corner behind the curtain, or you'd find anywhere else except someplace where you actually might just let loose. The best place for you to be is right up on the front, right? Right, Moses? Right on the front. This is where the glory is, amen? This is where the happenings is. Last point. Praise God verbally. I talked about this a little bit last week, but I want to finish some thoughts here. Because, you know, when Isaiah stood before God in this vision, in Isaiah chapter 6, he says, I saw the Lord lifted up, high lifted up. The first words out of his mouth were, I am a man of unclean lips. Something's wrong with my mouth. Your lips should say things that are sacrificial praises to God. Look at John, let me show you something. John 21, the Gospel of John chapter 21. There are a couple of different reasons why Jesus asked Peter if Peter loved him. But I'm just going to be real practical. John chapter 21, in verse 17. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 21, 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because Jesus said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said back unto him, feed my sheep. There are all kinds of reasons why he's asking three times. I mean, he denied him three times. But let me just be real practical. You know why he asked him three times? I think he just liked to hear it. I think the Lord loves us to tell him we love him. I think that is so profound. Use your lips to say, I love you. He misses that. Tell people things that you're thankful for. I mean, you're already weird. Why don't you just come all the way out? Amen? I'm sick and tired of the lesbian, gay, transgender group coming out, whether they're TDs and whether they're in schools or whatever. We need some Christians who will come out, and the way that they'll know you're saved is you'll let your light shine. And you'll be at work or whatever, and instead of going, I don't know, there are a lot of things that are American that people say, like Shazam, you know, other weird things. But somebody just going, well, praise God. 57 heads will be looking at you. Well, it worked. You'll be doing something and it comes out and you just praise God. Amen. Tell people things you're thankful for. Why don't you tell God, thank you for saving a wretch like me and sticking with me through thick and thin. Look at Luke 17. Gospel of Luke, back a few chapters there. Luke chapter 17 and verse 15. I want you to see this. Luke 17 and verse 15. This is the story of the 10 lepers and the one coming back. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud grunt, with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan of all things. He was from North Ireland. Yeah. You didn't know I could do that. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus goes on, but I want you to see, you know what he's doing? He's praising God and he's thanking Jesus. Can you not do that? Can we not take a moment and just thank God for giving you your wife, giving you your husband? When was the last time you said, thank God for my children? How about your parents? They're just as much a gift to you as you are to them. How about thanking God for this church? Thanking God for this pastor. I'm not blowing a horn, I'm saying it's what you ought to do. You ought to thank God for this pastor's wife. She keeps me sane and keeps me going. She keeps me right too. Amen. Thank God for the health problems, the financial struggles. Thank God. Why don't you learn to say, blessed be God. This is Bible language now. Look at Ephesians. You're in Luke, go to the right, go to Ephesians chapter 1. When you found Ephesians chapter 1, find Psalm 68 as well. Your left hand, Psalm 68. And then your right hand, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. I like talking like the Bible's written. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, watch these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with some spiritual blessings. Woo! All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be God. Now go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and verse 19. There it is again. Psalm 68 and verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Think about it. Selah. You know what that is? That's Bible talk. Use our mouth for good, can we? Shouldn't we? Fill your mouth with praise. Don't let the world or the devil or even your own feelings rob God of the praise that He deserves. I'm finished. There's going to be more next week. But in this New Testament era, we are a royal priesthood. We offer up sacrifices. We don't bring up lambs or grapes or goats or bulls or any of that stuff that is all listed out in the Old Testament. It was finished at the cross. But there are two sacrifices I can bring. Myself and the fruit of my lips. Praise. I can thank God. If I can do that, why don't I? I don't think we take it that serious. But it's the healthiest thing we can do. It's life-changing. I believe, I heard a preacher, an old-time preacher, say he's been saved 60 years, and he says there are two things every Christian must do to survive. Read their Bible and praise God. And I would have come out and said, well, they need to go soul winning, they need to be in church, they need to... But I thought, you know what? If you're praising God, if He's your focus, you'll do whatever He asks. You'll be wherever He is. If you're in your Bible, you'll be wanting to hear from Him. You will be hearing from Him. Just read your Bible and make sure you praise God. It keeps the balance on life. Doesn't mean you walk around and everything's like a fairy tale. There are many praises that are going to be sung with tears. But it is the sacrifice of praise that glorifies God. Starts with singing. Maybe some remembering. Making sure you do it as forgiven. But make sure you do it with your mouth. What good is praise if nobody can hear it? I know God can hear your praise when you're praying, but you're supposed to pray in secret. But you pray in public. Father, as we just stop for a moment right now, we want to confess the sin of apathy. The sin of not taking our sacrifices seriously. We don't lay our lives out as a living sacrifice, and we don't lay our lips out as a sacrifice. We sort of hold on to both. We feel we have the right to determine our day, and we feel we have the right to determine what we say. And we don't. You have bought us with a great price. You've asked us to glorify You in our spirit and in our body. I pray that, God, we start to do it. I pray we take it very seriously, Lord. And that our community around us, our homes, would be a whole lot more like heaven where there's praising going on. Because You're worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and blessing. Your word. Lord, in this room, plenty of Christians who are under conviction right now, but there may be somebody who's lost. They don't even know it. They've been religious. They go to church. They pray. They try to pray. But it's all empty. It's just mechanics. They don't know. They don't know why anybody would get excited about a God that we have not seen yet. Because they do not know your Son. If any man has seen Jesus, they've seen the Father. Lord, if there's anybody in this room who is battling, struggling with whether they're really born again or not, if there's anybody in this room who does not know what it means to be born again, to know the joy of being forgiven from all sin, I pray they get saved today. They take my hand and say, would you show me? Show me what Jesus did for me. And show me how to ask Him, how to be born again today. Let every Christian just rejoice that you give us this privilege and this challenge like today. In Jesus' name, amen.